Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And it is even a greater joy when we can have a brother or a sister come and visit and share with us. For those of you who don't know how the FCA works, we are not a denomination, we're a fellowship. And we endorse one another, and it's in that endorsing of one another make the effort to be accountable to one another and what's going on. Ed and Sherry is a couple that we connected with a long time ago here at Community Church through Pastor Ralph. And at that time, Ed and Sherry were off in the Ukraine and had a Bible college and were teaching and preaching there, and has since, again, come under our church, and we endorse him as are we calling you still a missionary, or are you a retired pastor? Retired pastor. And so we're just honored to have him here this morning, and I'm going to invite both Ed and Sherry just come up just briefly. You can introduce Sherry for those who don't know, and I know then Sherry can sit down. We're not going to ask you to speak, but come on up and just let's pray for them as they're here. Father, we thank you for both Ed and Sherry and the ministry in their life. We thank you from the foundations of the earth. You had a purpose, and that they are fulfilling those things. Lord, as Ed again is here to share with us this morning, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the words that you put in his heart and his mind. And again, we ask for ears that not just merely listen, but hear what you have to say to us this morning. Again, we pray a blessing upon him, and I give you thanks and praise that you be honored and glorified in it all. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. And all the saints said, amen.
I greet you all, sisters and brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Pastor Shannon, for giving us a green light again to come and share God's word with this congregation that you are providing leadership to. It is your responsibility to make sure that people that come through this door and end up over here, that they speak the truth, that it lines up with the word of God. You know what she did? She said that before she renews my credentials, I have to go see a police to get the clearance. And I did. And my wife has a copy that we are good. All right, this was just an opening humor. You know, we are really special people. We are really privileged, and we have access to the things that people that do not know the Lord don't. And it is our mission, it is our responsibility to go and tell them about the Lord. I'm trying to do that at work. I still work as a machinist a couple days a week. And there's a one person, a welder. Well, he is a Catholic, but he wants to convert me because he believes that non-Catholics need to be converted, that Luther was wrong, that I'm on the wrong path. But you know what? That gives me the opportunity to tell him about the relationship with Jesus Christ that is living. And he nailed me the other day on the crucifix. And he has a crucifix on his cell phone, the picture. And there's a crucifix on the on his radio that is in the corner of his shop. And he talked about the value of the crucifix. And I told him, in love, of course, well, you have a plastic crucifix over there. I serve the living Lord. So we have an interesting dialogue sometimes, but this is our mission. We are to share the truth. And for this reason, we are very, very blessed. We are very special. Not because we are better than those that are not saved, but because of God's mercy and grace. It's just like Israel, where they were not chosen by God because they were better than other nations. No, it was a sovereign will of God. As a matter of fact, when we study the history of the chosen people, my goodness, there's so much sin and unbelief and unfaithfulness that boggles your mind. But God chose them, and he showered them with the grace, and they were to be the light to the nations. Sometimes they were. Sometimes they failed, but the goodness of God is beyond description. If I were to lift to the top one of the attributes of God, I know there are many, and then they are all precious and special, but in the context of my own life and experience, and I got 70 years behind me, if I looked at that and think about God and his attributes, you know what characteristic or attribute I would lift to the top? Mercy of God. Where would I be today if it wasn't for the mercy of God? So I'm sure that all of you are benefiting from the same source. We are so privileged. Because of Calvary, we can enjoy intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ by faith. Who can say that? Only believers can say that. And we are the believers, we the Christians. So, what am I going to share with you today? Well, there's a reason I introduced sharing with the idea that we are blessed by God, that we are really privileged people because we can benefit so much from maintaining and growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's also another area, another dimension in which or from which we can draw a lot. We can draw the encouragement, we can draw knowledge and wisdom, and that realm I would call the testimonies left by our brothers and sisters in the Lord. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we are told that we are Christians, believers, surrounded by a small group of witnesses. No. We are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. There are thousands upon thousands of people that lived before us, people that believed in God and enjoyed his blessings. And the author of Hebrews that wrote these words was thinking only about the Old Testament saints, because the book of Hebrews was written in around 68 AD, before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. What does that mean? That he couldn't have in mind all the Christian people that lived after. Those that are tortured, those that were murdered by the Roman Caesars, like Nero, like Diocletian. For 2 or 3 years, there was a severe persecution in Rome, and many Christians died for their faith. Now, if the author of Hebrews calls the Old Testament saints as a huge cloud of witnesses, our cloud is even greater. Because century after century after century, Christians were somewhere persecuted and laying down their life. Even at the time of Reformation, if you can believe, there were a group of believers called Anabaptists. That's not how they call themselves. Others call them like that. How many of them were drowned in the cold waters of the river Limmat in Western Europe? Why? Because they studied the scripture and they realized that one should be baptized on the basis of the personal faith. And they were rebaptized. And for the religious world of the day, that was unthinkable. And therefore, they were abused, persecuted, and drowned. Yeah, we have a huge, enormous cloud of witnesses. Some people think that that idea has to do with all of them being there on the balcony of heaven looking down at us and cheering us to go forward, run the race. Well, I can affirm that because it's not clear in the Bible that it is so. But I can tell you one thing. They, by their life, by their example, whether it was good or bad, they left the testimony. So we have a multitude of testimonies that we can benefit from, those that are good and those that are bad. That's right. Because not all the testimonies are good. There were people that we will read about that started well, but the end of their life was tragic. I was watching the video this morning, video about Solomon. Oh, my goodness. This man was given so much. He was given throne, but that's not all. He was given a wisdom. He was the richest man in the area. Even the Queen of Sheba and others came to him because they heard that in Jerusalem there is a king, the ruler, that is exceptional. And they came and listened to him. And Sheba, for example, walked away and said, "Well, I was told that you are a wise man. But now, after this interview with you, that meeting with you, wow." She walked away, she drove away. She didn't fly away, didn't have planes there. She drove away amazed. People loved him. Everything he looked upon glittered, shined, because it was overlaid with gold. Unbelievable. But he allowed one crack to emerge, the second crack over there, the third crack over there, and little by little, his heart got cold towards God. So he brought for himself 700 wives from all the nations around, which he knew God strictly forbade. He said, don't. Because if you do, they will redirect your heart towards pagan deities. And it didn't take long, and our hero, Solomon, was crawling on the top of the hill, giving the space in a promised land to the altars for the foreign deities. And not only that, but he himself dabbled in that. Can you see what happened? What can happen to a man who was given a privilege to build a temple? Even David, man according to God's heart, couldn't do it. And God said, "All right, yeah, I see your desire, David. And David was a very special man, according to God's heart. That's God's testimony about him, but he was not given that privilege. That privilege went to Solomon. And when Solomon finally finished building the temple, oh my goodness. The glory of the Lord filled the temple to such a degree that you could, if I can use that expression, cut it with a knife. It was so thick, the priests couldn't even perform the duties as a priest because the presence of God was so great. And not only that, God spoke to him twice directly. There's a huge warning to us that on a road called Christian living, there's a warning. Let's watch it. Because we have a testimony left by the wisest man that ever walked the earth, Solomon. We have a testimony. He left us a testimony. And there are so many testimonies that we have before us, right there in this book, from cover to cover, testimony upon after testimony. What is the Bible all about? Well, it's complicated. Not complicated, but not such a simple question. One can provide number of answers. One can say it's a book about a plan of redemption, God's plan of redemption of humankind. We can say a lot of things about the Bible, but there's one thing we definitely cannot skip, namely the fact that is about the people. Would you like me to give you a homework? Yeah? Did you say sure? I think you better refrain for now. Because I am going to ask you to go home, take a long piece of paper, and write down the name of every person that you will find in the Bible. It will be a long paper. So you see, the Bible is about people. It wouldn't have a value if it wasn't for the people, because we are people with needs. So the Bible is a book about people, and it has a multitude of the testimonies. They are mirrors to which we can approach and look and say, yeah, this is what I will pursue, but this is what I will avoid. This is what I will do, but this is what I'm gonna run away from. Today, I'm going to share briefly about the testimony left by the man called Caleb. You know, we don't hear too many messages about him, but he was quite a guy. And he was given outstanding testimony that in my day, in this phase of my life, I choose to pursue. What testimony did he leave behind? Well, let me start here. Do you think if something is written in the Bible, it is important? How about if it is written two or three times? Is it important? Well, it better be important, because on the basis of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established, correct? What about if I told you that if something is, or ask you, if something is underscored in the scripture five times, would that be important? How about six times? Oh, come on, that would be very important, wouldn't it? It is. Six times in the Bible, stated very plainly and clearly, and this is a testimony that Caleb left behind. What is it? Well, let's read it. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. This is the first time we introduced to this testimony that that we can find in the scripture. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Listen carefully. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Can you glean the testimony from this verse? What is the phrase that we are looking for? Let me read it. He has followed me fully. Ah. He followed the Lord fully. And this phrase was somewhat altered way is found 6 times in the Bible. What does that phrase tell me? What does that fact tell me? What does that testimony tell me? A, it is possible to follow the Lord fully, wholeheartedly, without reservation. If I were to express, I used to enjoy trigonometry when I was in school, technical school. I enjoyed different graphs, etc., etc. If I were to introduce, if I were to draw the line that would actually express the way Caleb followed the Lord, it would be solid line and perhaps rising up and up and up. It definitely was a sinusoid, like the AC current, alternating current, up and down, up and down, up and down, like a yo-yo. There are a lot of Christians like that. Sad to say, there was a phase in my life that I needed God's grace in this area. Because my following Jesus wasn't all that systematic and steady. As we go through life, we go through different phases, correct? I have entered a phase that this testimony is very important to me. I have no room for sinusoids. I can't afford that. I don't know how many years the Lord will keep me here on earth, but that is not all that the most important. The most important is that I follow the Lord fully. That is important. See? I am in a very peculiar phase now. I went through different phases in life. All of us go through it. There is a phase when we are young, we are studying, preparing ourselves to make a contribution to the society in which we live. I went through that. Then we get married. Then we have children. We have so many obligations. And then finally, we reached a very interesting phase. I'm going through it now. I look at that piece of steel, and I ask myself a question, why is it in my garage? And I go there, why is this thing in my garage? I better de-junk my garage because it is squeezing me. It is reducing my space. I have seen a very interesting picture on Facebook. There's an old grandpa standing with his cane and his son beside him. And they are standing before garage. The door is open and the garage is cluttered with junk. And you know what the father says? Son, all these things one day will be yours. I went through that. My parents lived during the Second World War. Things were tough. They had that tendency to accumulate stuff. And they came to Edmonton and they bought themselves a house and they lived there and they passed away, left the house for me. I am very grateful because I sold it and it was very helpful financially to us. But I tell you, you should have seen how many bags of stuff I carried to the curb, how much I had to give away. I don't want my children to go through that. I want to de-junk my garage earlier. Friends, that refers to the physical aspect of our life. How about de-junking stuff that is still behind us? Kind of following like a hyena behind us. How about that? You know, there was a time the different testimonies spoke to me more powerfully, but that's the beauty of being surrounded with all those testimonies. There was a phase in my life where purity was important. You know, young man, purity. You have, and I was a PK, and PKs are very exceptional, not exceptional, but let me use a different term. They live and grow up in a different realm. I would call it the realm of tension. On one hand, you have the expectation of the Christian parents, but you are not born again. You don't have that inner strength and the help coming from the Holy Spirit within you to live a pure and holy life. And you have, those biological needs. Testosterone is high. Girls are beautiful. Everywhere you look around, there are friends, peer pressure, that's attention. Oh man, it's tough to be a young man, young person. I don't want to go through it again. In one sense, I would. But in some areas, in some aspects, I'd rather not. So, but I knew the Bible because from the time point of diapers, I listened to it, Bible being preached. And I knew that there are examples to follow. And at that particular phase in my life, you know what was important? What testimony? It was testimony left by Daniel, the prophet. Young man, 16 years of age, yanked from Jerusalem, brought into the foreign land called Babylon. He was renamed from Daniel, God is my judge, to Belteshazzar, of heathen name. And there's one beautiful verse in the book of Daniel that spoke to me a lot, and I will quote it. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. You want a testimony about purity? Go to Daniel. You want a testimony on the subject what to avoid? Well, look at the other man with a similar Babylonian name. Daniel is Belteshazzar, but the last king of Babylon is Belshazzar. And man, he was, well, ignorant. He makes a party, big party. Enemy is on the fringe there, on the horizon. He is having party. And bring me the golden vessels from the Jerusalem temple, he says. They drink the wine. And a hand appears. Mene. Mene tekel ufarsin. That was his condition. He realized something important is taking place. Who is going to interpret? Who is going to explain? I don't want to go into it too much because that will take me a lot of time. But bring the wise men of Babylon. They look like a, Polish people have a saying, like a calf at the golden gate. Jak czele namalowane wrota, patrz. They have no clue what it's all about. Daniel shows up and he says, yeah, I will interpret. Now, the promises you made me to give me this, and I don't need them. You keep it to yourself. I don't need your gold. I don't need your rewards, but I will explain to you what it says. Hey, dude, I'm using contemporary language. Hey, dude, you were placed on a scale. And the funny thing is, the scale doesn't go down. There is another scale with certain weights. Weights of expectations from you. Your father Nebuchadnezzar left you such a testimony. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar has a bad start and goes through quite experience. He's living even with the animals, grazing. All that was a part of the testimony. On that side of the scale is the legacy of his papa. But on this side is his spiritual condition. And the scale doesn't even move. Oh, you ignorant man. You had a light to benefit from, but you didn't. What you are doing is wrong. And therefore, God sent that hand. And it says, your weight on the scale, and you were found wanting. That very night, says the Bible, he was, and that was the end of Belshazzar. Negative testimony, absolutely. Valuable testimony, absolutely. The Bible is full of testimonies of all kinds. All right, time is quickly going by. Polish people have a saying, zawsze wyleży szydło z worka. How does the Polish language sound to you? Strange, doesn't it? Well, remember that your language sounded strange to me, too. It was like somebody was pouring water. I didn't know where the previous word ends, where a new one begins. It was something. But little by little, I have learned it. Not in school, just basically through fellowship with English-speaking people. Anyway, Polish people have that saying, zawsze wyleży szydło z worka, meaning the needle placed in a sack, you know, the old sack, kind of like the one we carry potatoes in now. But way back then, the sacks were kind of made out of fabric that had spaces between the lines. You put the needle into that, lift up the sack, be sure the needle will stick its head very quickly. Do you understand the concept? Yeah, okay. We underscore the fact that Caleb followed the Lord fully, wholeheartedly. And this truth, and this fact, and this segment of his testimony that he left behind is underscored 6 times. But the question is this: how did it express itself in everyday life? Because the needle eventually will make its way outside of the sack. If you follow Jesus wholeheartedly, watch out. It'll show. It will express itself. it'll manifest itself. You can't say on one hand, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, and by your lifestyle and testimony you're leaving about behind, you are denying it. You cannot do that. I cannot do that, because if I do, people that see me have a full right to say, hypocrite. You are preaching one thing at me, and you are doing something that doesn't line up with it. You know, unbelievers, unconverted people still have a sense of what's right, what's wrong. Oh, yes, they do. After I got saved, I went back to my technical school, and I was sitting with my friend. And at that time, we were not allowed to open the candy and put it into our mouth. You had a lot of freedom in your school. You had so much freedom, it's unthinkable. We couldn't. We had to walk straight. And when we saw the professor a mile away, we had to bow and say, good morning. Yeah, we grew up in a different system. Anyway, it was forbidden to eat candies during the class. But I was all of a sudden overcame with this temptation. And I had a candy in my pocket. And I thought, I'll take it out, put it under the desk, open it up, and put it in my mouth. Nobody will see it. And I proceeded. And when the candy was under the desk, I started to open it, but it was wrapped in a plastic. And my neighbor heard it and said, are you telling me about Jesus? Are you disobeying the rules that we have? What could I say? Small thing, I know. It wouldn't mean much today, but the context was making it important. We were not supposed to eat candies during the time when the professor was lecturing. All right, so people see us. How did the fact that Caleb wholly followed the Lord express itself? Two, very quickly. First of all, he looked at the reality that was surrounding him and saw it through a different lens. And that was a lens of faith. And that was a lens of the awareness that he is in the center of what God has promised. He came back with the other 10, well, 11, because there was also Joshua. He came back. 10 are giving bad report. People are panicking, looking for the rocks. They want to stone Moses and Aaron, and later on they want to stone Caleb. What a faithless bunch. Chosen generation. If it wasn't for the intercession of Moses, the whole group was under the sentence. God would wipe them out. He said, 10 times you are trying me. You can look back and see my power. You can see those miracles, beginning with Egypt, Red Sea crossing, etc., etc., bitter waters, whatever. Cloud, how about cloud moving everywhere they move, providing the warmth and the direction and shade? You wonder how. Well, the same question we can address, we can direct to Solomon. How could you, Solomon? You were given so much. Conclusion, you can be given maximum and your heart can grow gold. Said Caleb, after he came from spying out the land, that's the word is used in the New King James, while the other 10 are giving their interpretation of what they saw. We can't go. Cities are big, walled. There are sons of Anak, giants. We can't go. And the congregation fell under this influence, and they were crying the whole night. But Caleb tears his clothes, and he says, yes, we can. And it sounds like Obama when he was trying to become a president. Yes, we can. Remember that? Anyway, Caleb says, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Why could he say that when others couldn't? Because his glasses, his lenses, so to speak, were different. He evaluated reality through the lens of faith, not fear, not disobedience. You know, how much time we have? I should be landing. The plane should be landing now. Quickly, there was a Russian poet, Lev Nikolaevich Tolstoy was his name. He wrote two novels, maybe you heard about them. One of them is titled War and Peace, has to do with Napoleonic Wars, and the other one, Anna Karenina. But he's known for that. But he also, towards the end of life, he changed his thinking. He was a philosopher, pursuing the question, what is really the value of life? In his olden age, 8 years, he set up a school for children, and he was teaching children, because he didn't believe that what they are getting in the schools of that era were beneficial for them. So he had that school, and he wrote a bunch of poems that were supposed to teach them children good morals, valuable facts and truths. And he wrote a short story about Mama Mouse and a baby mouse. And the story goes like this. You want to hear how it starts in Russian? Мишка вышла гулять, ходила по двору и пришла снов к матери. Now that's Russian. You don't understand it. Does anybody understand Russian here, by the way? No. Okay. So the mama, mouse, and the little mouse were living in the, what do you call it, burrow, the hole in the ground. And one day little mouse decided to go out and see what's out there. How does the world look like? And she did. And she saw things. And she came back to her mom. And mom says, well, daughter, what did you see? Well, I saw two animals. One very, very scary, and the other one was so peaceful and beautiful. Mom says, well, tell me more about those two animals. Well, if the scary one, well, he had sharp beaks, and he was digging in the ground, and the ground was, and the dirt was flying to the sides. He had a red comb on his head, and there were other animals kind of similar to him, and he was kind of yelling at them. I got so scared. Mom says, don't get scared. This is a rooster. He will not hurt you. What about the other animal? Well, the other one was so beautiful, so peaceful. He was lying there under the bush, covered himself with a tail. He tucked his head there, laying there comfortably, making a murr, 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 murr sound. Mom says, this is a cat. You ask, what does that little simple story of Nikolaevich Tolstoy have to do with what we are saying here? Well, you see, this is a principle hiding there. Sometimes we look at things and they look scary. And sometimes They look so peaceful. Does that have a biblical application to our life? Why is devil the enemy of your soul that wants to trip you on your path to eternity? Why does he manifest himself as an angel of light sometimes? Yeah, sometimes he's like a roaring lion, but sometimes he's cuddly with a fuzzy tail. Watch out. You need a discernment. Discernment that flows from your intimate relationship with Jesus, from following him fully. See, ten saw, like I said before, walled wolves, giants, etc., etc. Yeah, Caleb saw that too. But he looked at it through a different lens. My friends, what we see, I'm establishing here certain principle. What we see with our eyes is direct, and how we interpret it is directly proportional to the level of our relationship with Jesus, to that how we follow him fully or partially, only occasionally, on Christmas and Easter. Hey, Christianity is not sinusoid. It's a solid line upward leading to eternity. Hallelujah. Yes. What do you see? I know life. Been around 70 years. Certain things scare me too. Certain things I don't approach with faith while I should. I repent. After. And another thing, how it showed itself, how it expressed itself. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Second answer is right there in that text. People that wholly, fully, without reservation, follow the Lord, there's a different spirit about them. In Caleb, there was another spirit. Another, what does it mean, another? Different than the other ten had. They were the heads of the tribes. They were the leader of the ten tribes of Israel. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're responsible for encouraging people to enter the promised land. They are failing. Actually, people left, reached the point where they say, okay, let's get the leader and let's go back to Egypt. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That is why Christianity is not a joke. It's not something to be treated lightly. Jesus never spoke, never said that being a Christian is sleeping on a soft pillow. It's a struggle. In the world, you shall have tribulation. I resent that gospel of comfort and prosperity only without intimate relationship with Jesus. That's nonsense. That's not what's in the gospel. Read the gospel. I just finished reading the gospel of Matthew. I read it many times, but I saw and knew what Jesus was promoting. Yeah, there's a lot in the front of us. Eternity in his presence forever. But there's a price attached to it. But let's not be concerned. Because we are in relationship with him, he will help us to overcome. All right, so there's a different spirit. What kind of spirit is emanating from you, my brother? My sister, what kind of spirit? Is the same spirit as Caleb? No, Caleb is living in the Old Testament. you are on this side of Calvary. You have intimate relationship with Christ. You have no excuse. I have no excuse for the wrong spirit emanating from me, do I? No, I don't. I have seen people in my life with a beautiful spirit. I think about this teacher in one Bible school, older lady. What a spirit. Beautiful lady. And then I think about when I was young, taking my cattle to the pasture. And there was, not too far from the path that I was taking my cattle, there was an old woman. I don't know what her problem was. But the moment when she saw me, she started cursing and swearing. And I was only 10, 9, 10, 9, 11, before teen, being reaching a teen, 13, and becoming teenager, I saw the evil emanating from her every time, pretty much, I took the cattle to the pasture. Caleb had another spirit, spirit of faith, trust in God, spirit that would claim the promise of God. That's it, friends, for today. I hope you